experience.
Let's get it started in here.
Oh, it's a Justice and Drew Christmas, and Sam too, talking about the news, their opinions, and Sam too.
Then I look at you.
Can you dig it?
And the world's all right with me.
Can you dig it?
Just one look at you.
Can you dig it?
It's gonna be a lovely day.
Yes! News Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. It is Tuesday, December 11th, 2018.
That was solid.
You like that?
That was solid.
That was perfect.
I told you I was pleased with it.
I know. You were trepidatious. And justifiably so. Well,
yeah. What do you mean justifiably so?
That's not. Stop. That's not on you guys. That's on me. That's on me.
You don't like that song?
No. I just mean I'm finicky. That's my point.
I'm fickle. Fickle, John.
Oh, well, that's not news to us.
I've been very fickle. So exactly. That was on me. That was good. I get very trepidatious about those fickle things because I'm very picky. But that met with my, you know, that met my standards.
Oh, good.
So we're good.
Like, whew.
What a
relief.
Your goal of making me happy this morning, so far, so good.
It's really all I strive to
You've
do.
You've given me toffee.
Wow.
A decent intro.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I gave him some toffee.
Did
earlier. Yeah. We have a jam-packed show today.
Yes, we do.
We have a lot going on today. We're going to be joined by a good friend of the show. I'm really looking forward to catching up with Patty Robinson from Project Delta. She'll be in around 7 o'clock this morning to give us an update on all the cool things that are going on with Project Delta. If you're not aware, the short version, and we'll get into more of this, the short version is Project Delta trains rescue dogs to become service animals for military veterans. Really, really awesome work.
Yeah. Also, we'll be speaking with David Gartenstein Ross just after 8 o'clock this morning. Going to run through a number of different issues with David. I'm going to get his thoughts on Mueller, what's going on with the yellow vest protests in France. There also is some recent ISIS updates as well that we'll be asking David about.
So that's going to happen around 8 o'clock this morning. At 7:35, we've got Representatives Cal Barr and Tim Miller both calling in. They are two of the sort of...
Renegade.
Maverick.
Renegades.
House members.
Renegades.
That have broken off from the GOP caucus in the House to form their own little mini caucus.
Yeah, they're like the XFL of the...
Oh my gosh, they actually are.
Yeah, the Renegades. Yeah. Just GOP House members running wild.
So they're gonna come Sunday, on and tell us what all this is about.
That's right.
And why they felt that this was a necessary move.
Yeah, and plus Pete Hegseth will be on with us right around 8:30 this morning.
That's always fun.
Hey, got a story here out of Fox News.
Yeah.
Yeah, one female journalist has declared, Sam, curious to get your thoughts on this.
Okay.
That women only seating sections on planes is the way to a safer future in the high skies. Avoiding the armrest in commercial passenger seating is a gender political issue in the wake of the hashtag MeToo movement.
Wait, what?
Yes.
But what if you're someone who's traveling with a spouse or something?
Well, I mean, you can choose to travel with a male companion, but she says you should be given the option of a woman-only section on a plane.
That's ridiculous. Logistically, it's tough enough to get everything all coordinated and everyone seated and everything and make sure that the plane's full and everything, but you're going to have a woman-only area.
Yeah. She says man
segregation, the way of the future.
Man spreading on a plane. That was a good movie, by the way.
Segregation?
No, man, man spreading on a plane. Oh. In the age of hashtag me too, even the armrest is a gender politics issue.
My God, I am so glad I don't go through life.
Yeah, you know,
like looking at everything through the lens of gender or racial politics.
This is really, really dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, because...
Who is this?
It was a female journalist. Her name is Kate Whitehead. Yeah. She wrote a piece in the South China Morning Post. This is another one of those circumstances where, and just real quick, Sam, the circumstances where she has a personal issue. Because she says that the majority of time when she goes on the plane, 9 times out of 10, based on my extensive experience flying cattle class, if a man is seated beside a woman, he will claim the armrest.
If you're having such a problem, just pay extra for like first class or something so you have bigger seats.
Yeah, and your own armrest.
Yeah, and your own armrest.
Or just ask, hey.
Just ask nicely.
Would you mind? We'll split the armrest with the flight.
See, and she's thinking about this backwards. If you want to like go into her feminist head for a second, she's thinking about it backwards. It's a scary, dark place.
It is. I'm there now and it's frightening.
But
what was her name?
Kate Whitehead.
Kate Feminist Head.
Yeah, so if you go into Kate Feminist Head's brain for a second here, she really... She shouldn't be trying to find a solution for the woman to avoid the situation.
Right.
She should be trying to educate the men that she has an issue with on not just sprawling out and taking up all the space.
And Sam, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, for I am not a woman, okay? All right?
I mean, but you're close.
I'm close, but I'm not. But correct me if I'm wrong. Would it not be a worse scenario for said Kate feminist head to have the... Can you imagine what my point is? The armrest issue with nothing but women? I don't think it's going to change.
Yeah, there's some women that just like sprawl out too. It's really a person problem.
Right.
She has a person problem and she's blaming it on men.
Yeah, I can't imagine just because you've got a bunch of women in one section that they're all suddenly going to be...
That would almost be worse.
That's my point!
I don't want to sit with a bunch of women.
My point!
No, like, one of the best things about... I don't know.
Sitting next to a man?
No, sit next to a man. No, because usually men just want to go to sleep on a plane.
Yeah.
Like, women feel obligated to make small talk. Some guys do as well. But generally, guys just kind of want to sit there and not talk and go to sleep. I appreciate.
That's me.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Because I don't want to talk to anybody on a plane.
You have a better opportunity at chivalry... And the armrest than you do with a bunch of women who
feel obligated to their armrest.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, that was my point.
Yeah,
this is she's dumb. Kate,
she's really
feminist
dumb.
Head.
If she has such a problem, she should just say something to the guy.
Yeah, no, she's too much of a coward to do that.
Yeah,
so instead she wants a law. You know, I mean, it's just that typical stupid mindset of, oh, I've got a personal problem and something that there should be a law. They should mandate women-only sections on the plane. Why? So you can women spread?
No, Kate, stop. It's Kate, right? Stop advocating for segregation.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And more and more people are.
Apparently, Air India... India's national carrier did debut women-only rows back in 2017 following 2 reported incidents of assault. Another India carrier, Vistara, rolled out a woman flyer service, which gave preferred seating to women traveling alone.
Yeah, I got no problem with
that.
Yeah, if individual airlines want to, you know, they feel like there's a marketing benefit to offering women-only sections or preferred seating, fine, go for it. I don't care.
It's very different. If it's a company, if it's a specific airline deciding that they would benefit from that, it's different.
Yeah.
Have you ever had an armrest issue? On a plane?
Not really, but I don't really use my armrest. I just kind of curl up into a little ball and go to sleep.
That's true. I can't sleep on planes because I'm too terrified. No. How's the scouring?
It's been great.
We will bring you Sam's Top 5 for a Tuesday coming up next.
Today.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew. Along with Sam, 651-989-5855 is the phone number. Use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, a friend of the show on Twitter wanted a stapler gate update.
Do we have an update?
No,
I don't think we
don't have an update. It was on the post. We did it on
we
the
tried.
Yeah, they did it on, yeah. on the sad post show yesterday.
It was a very sad post show.
it was a little. We were kind of done. But we thought that the engineers had gone through and thoroughly cleaned out the studios. Because when I arrived yesterday morning, the doors were open and lights were on and counters were all clear. So I was informed that there's a engineering cart.
So they go around, the engineers, sometimes once a week, sometimes once every 2 weeks, will go around to each studio and they will do like a deep clean of the equipment and the counters and everything. And they have this cart that they push around that has like a garbage can on it and it has cleaning supplies and paper towels and all that stuff. So I thought maybe when they were cleaning, perhaps they put everything that was on the desk or on the table onto the cart and then put it back, but then forgot to put the staplers back because that seemed like the only plausible reason that someone would take both staplers plus the staple box. But alas,
that was not the case.
It was not the case.
I found the cart. I looked at the cart. They were not on there.
Yeah.
But you have not yet talked to the actual engineer that did the cleaning. So.
Right.
Mike.
Yeah,
yes.
I have not talked to Mike. I have not seen Mike.
We need to track down engineer Mike.
Yeah.
I think he's the key.
Yeah.
He's the cog. That needs to turn.
It's true. It is. But
I think that John is feeling a little scorned by the engineering staff after the Trump Penn situation.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It's more like 24 hours have passed and I'm already over it. So,
but it consumed you yesterday.
It did consume me yesterday. But I
now you're just over
now
it.
It just takes me a while to rise above it. Now
hashtag over it.
Now hashtag over it. We have.
I've got 4 staplers on order from Amazon. For you to choose from.
Books. Books on order. I don't need staplers. I need books sold. No, I came in this morning. These staples. I will say this, though, guys. When I arrived this morning, I still had a printer problem, but I immediately moved on from that after one attempt and found another place to make the copies of the prep this morning. But I did walk in to the studio very slowly because I was very worried that the new staplers that I found yesterday would be gone.
Okay.
So I was very pleased to arrive in studio to find that, these staplers at least lasted through the night.
The same swing line staplers.
Yes, they are. No, they have them. Yes. They have the Scotch tape with the TCNT written on them. Yeah. So
I think that if those staplers were also gone tomorrow, then someone's definitely purposefully trolling you.
No, I still think somebody's purpose. I think it has something to do with the Trump pen. I think there's somebody playing the
related.
Somebody's playing the long game. Yeah. They're trying to drive us mad.
Well, they haven't taken your screaming goat. Nor have they taken our duck in a box.
That's true. Okay.
Those over on that desk, they're kind of hidden a little bit.
It was a gift from Howard Root.
So there's your update. The important matters this morning in a very packed show where we're limited on time and concerned we're not going to be able to get to the prep that we already have. I'm glad that we took at least a good 10 minutes out to discuss the Staplergate.
Staplergate 2018.
Yeah.
This segment of Justice and Drew is powered by our friends from Early Bird Electric. Sam scours the internet and finds the top 5 stories you need to know if you want to even remotely consider starting your day.
Number 1.
A Minnesota House survey revealed sexual harassment concerns at the Capitol. Surprise. Mm. From NPR. Results of a recent survey on sexual harassment at Minnesota's Capitol show 1 in 5 respondents had experienced or witnessed it.
That seems high.
That seems really high.
It seems high.
The anonymous survey was conducted in October and was completed by about 230 House members and staff. Fewer than half of the House members completed the survey. Lame.
We're already
starting. That kind of puts a damper on it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But of those who did, 20% said that they've been the victim or witness of sexual harassment. That was about the same rate as staff.
Yeah, and of course, if you do fall into that category, you are far more likely to complete this survey. It's probably safe to assume that the majority of people that chose not to do the survey chose that way because they've never experienced anything.
The survey information comes a year after 2 legislators, Representative Tony Cornish and Senator Dan Schoen, resigned amid sexual harassment complaints. The House Task Force on Workplace Safety and Respect is expected to discuss the findings on Friday. House members went through a refresher course last year on harassment and bias, and more training is scheduled for next month. People who took the survey were almost universally familiar with the House policy against discrimination and harassment, and they knew how to report possible violations.
It's going to sound insensitive. I'm going to say it anyways, though. The survey is meaningless, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's leading. It's going to be subjective.
Yep.
It's going to be bias, right? I mean, one... It should be harassment reported, investigated conclusion. Mm-hmm. If you're going to look at this issue and not draw it along party lines, you know, in the clearest, you know, most transparent way, then it should be looked at as harassment claims. Then what was followed through, what was legitimate, and who was held accountable? Yep. Because otherwise, I mean, you fill out a survey like this, and it's so easy to just go, yeah, that could be considered harassment, you know. So I'll mark it down. And oh, I saw, you know, what Billy said to Margie, and you know what, that to me was harassment. So to me this survey is meaningless and just going to be used for political purposes.
Well, and the fact that so, you know, fewer than half the House members even bothered to complete it, it's really hard to take those numbers and give them any weight because we don't know what, you know, more than half of the House. What if everybody who didn't take it, you know, has never experienced or witnessed it? That pushes that percentage down dramatically.
What if everyone who didn't want to take the test or didn't, I'm sorry, not the test, the survey, didn't want to take the survey, didn't want to take it because they had experienced something, they didn't want to think about it?
Yeah,
it's possible too. We will continue with Sam's Top 5 right after this.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew, along with Sam, powered by candy this morning.
I am powered. I'm powered by peppermint bark.
I love peppermint bark.
Yeah, thanks to the great folks over at Intellectual Takeout. Good friend of the show, Devin Foley, works with them. They sent us a nice little box of Christmas candy.
It looks like a takeout box.
It does. It looks like Chinese food.
Yeah. That's what Drew thought it was when he opened it. He was like, I got Chinese food this morning.
Somebody sent me some lo mein.
I mean, the candy is very good, but yeah. Lo mein would be nice, too.
Also appropriate for Christmas.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Chinese takeout is appropriate for any day.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
We are in the midst of Sam's Top 5 this morning.
Powered by our friends from Early Bird Electric.
Number 2.
The Vikings lost their game to the Seahawks.
Yeah, that was ugly.
Can we just go to...
That was ugly.
Can we go to 3?
From the Star Tribune. As the Vikings prepare to fly east through the night after one of their more terrible defeats in recent memory, they were still in position for a wild, or they are still in position for a wild card berth by virtue of the Week 2 tie in Green Bay that gave them a half game lead over their challengers for the final NFC playoff spot.
I'm sorry, that's sad. Yeah. It's the tie that keeps us in the mix. Unbelievable.
Talk about bittersweet. The designation will be of little comfort, though, after that 21-7 loss to the Seattle Seahawks that laid bare all of the questions about the Vikings postseason worthiness that have been simmering for months. Before Kirk Cousins dropped back 8 times in the final 3 minutes, when the Vikings were down by 2 touchdowns, they ran the ball on 21 of 48 offensive plays, rendering moot the now familiar debates about offensive balance that flared up again after last week's loss to the Patriots. It took a Cousins to Dalvin Cook 6-yard touchdown pass with 1 minute and 17 seconds left to help them avoid their first shutout since a 34-0 loss in Green Bay in 2007.
Wow.
It was just brutal. I mean, that game was just brutal. It was, what, 3-0 at halftime? It was really tough to watch.
I think it was 3-0 in, like, the third quarter.
Yeah. That Vikings offense has serious, serious problems. I am very concerned that Zimmer and DeFilippo are not on the same page. They're chapters apart in whatever book the Vikings season is writing this season. I would, right now, I mean, if you ask me, I would be surprised if John DeFilippo's here next year. I feel like there's tension there. I feel like there's some dissension between Zimmer and DeFilippo. And I think John DeFilippo, I think, is a good, quality, competent offensive coordinator. I think you've just got this situation where it's a round peg, square hole with him and Mike Zimmer and their visions for what they want this team to look like and what they want the identity of this team to be. throw in, you know, some injuries, you throw in a subpar offensive line, and you got, it's baffling because the offense was so good early in the season.
Yeah.
And now they're just terrible.
Well, and look, if things continue down the path they're on, I mean, we raised the specter the other day when it comes to Zimmer and his future. This team should be performing much better than this. Mm-hmm. They have all the tools at their disposal, and yeah, they're failing to utilize those tools.
With the exception of the offensive line, this team is not lacking in talent whatsoever. And even factoring in the offensive line compared to most of the rest of the, every team with very few exceptions, you know, have offensive line struggles. It's just one of those units that it's really tough to get five quality starting offensive linemen that can play a whole season without injuries, without injury concerns. That's a tough thing for any NFL team to put together. And if you can do that, you are going to be a competitive team. You are going to have a good season, generally speaking.
Sure.
But again, you know, take out the offensive line concerns. There is no shortage of talent on this team.
Yeah.
You got two of the best wide receivers. You get probably one the best, if not the best, one of the top three wide receiving tandems with Thielen and Diggs. You've also got, Kyle Rudolph, with blanket on his name. You got, you know, two quality running backs. There's plenty of talent on this team. There's no reason for their offense to be struggling as much as it is.
The Vikings are clinging to the NFC's number six seed at 6-6-1, a half game ahead of 6-7 clubs such as Carolina, Philadelphia, and Washington. They head home to face the 7-6 Dolphins on Sunday before finishing the season with division games against Detroit and Chicago. This loss puts the Vikings 2.5 games behind the Bears in the NFC North race, all but assuring their only path to the playoffs is a wild card.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they need the Bears to kind of lose out. They need to win out. That's not going to happen. The Bears beat the Rams on Sunday Night Football with a really impressive defensive performance. So I do not expect the Bears to lose out. You know, they might, I don't know what the rest of their schedule is, but they might lose one game. But the Vikings need to win out if they want a chance at the wild card, but it's kind of, you know, when you look at how they performed last night, what's the point? You know, if they make the wild card, they're going to have to go on the road and face probably the Bears.
Yeah.
Again, you know, 2 weeks in a row, with that being the, you know, last game of the season, that would be, at least right now, their most likely playoff opponent in the first round of the playoffs. And, you know, what Vikings fan right now has any confidence that they can take that wild card path from a sixth seed and, you know, be any sort of legitimate contender for the Super Bowl?
Number 3.
More protesters stormed Pelosi's office demanding climate change action. From the Hill. Hundreds of young protesters stormed Capitol Hill on Monday, taking over the offices of three House Democratic leaders to call for an immediate climate change plan. The activists with the Sunrise Movement, a group that's pushing House Democrats to create a special committee next year focused entirely on climate change initiatives, engaged in three sit-ins inside the office of the likely next speaker, Representative Nancy Pelosi, as well as incoming Majority Leader Steny Hoyer and Representative Jim McGovern, who is in line to chair the House Rules Committee. Most of the protesters, who ranged in age from their teens to late 20s, were eventually pushed out by Capitol Police after a threat of arrest. Officers did arrest 138 protesters on charges of blocking hallways. The protests are the second wave organized by the Sunrise Movement to disrupt the Capitol since the midterm elections. Protesters in early November organized a sit-in inside Pelosi's office in conjunction with Representative-elect Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is leading the organization's call for the creation of a climate change committee and for a Green New Deal. 51 protesters were arrested at that time.
Yeah, that Green New Deal is a little short on details. Ocasio-Cortez is just
a new deal, and it's green.
She's an idea generator.
She's also like a random word generator.
Yes, she's awful. Right. These protesters are awful, and it's pathetic and sad, because the truth is, even if, you know, if they really believe and stand behind that which they're protesting, this group of individuals could go and have a larger impact on the environment and climate change by going and individually taking personal responsibility and doing their own individual actions than they could anything, you know, putting forward anything the government would do. Mm-hmm. They could achieve goals faster, they could be more effective, and they could fight climate change and global warming better and more effectively than anything the government could ever do. But they're lazy, they're being duped by idiots like Ocasio-Cortez to just going and demanding that, you know, the government go and solve their problems for them that they believe are problems.
The fact of the matter is, the bottom line is, when it comes to being good stewards of the environment, the United States is leaps and bounds ahead of almost every other developed country.
Yeah.
Leaps and bounds. When it comes to those stupid Paris Accords, we're the only country, even though we haven't, you know, we withdrew from them, we're the only country that's meeting them.
Right.
You know, if you want to, if you really want to tackle climate change on a government level, you need to emigrate.
Yeah.
Start sitting in the offices of government officials in India and China and Russia. See how that works out.
Yeah. It's another good example, too, of sort of the fractions that do exist on the left. For so long, we only saw them on the right. It was always the right that was, you know, that was broken up and was divided. And now we've been seeing it, and we don't talk about it nearly as much. And this is way more about politics than it is about anything tangible when it comes to the environment.
Number four.
A staff writer at the Star Tribune for more than 30 years has resigned. He's a film critic. He's resigned after an ethics breach. Mm. From the Star Tribune, this matter came to editors' attention in a recent email from a reader that said Covert, in his 2009 review of the movie Nine, had used a unique phrase from the late New Yorker film critic Pauline Kael. Editors confirmed the phrase, self-glorifying masochistic mush, was used by Kael in 1974. After additional research, editors identified other phrases in Covert's Nine review that are identical to phrases in other reviews written by Kael, including archaic big musical circus, comic strip craziness, and stardust is slightly irritating. Further examination of some of Covert's work identified eight other reviews that contained unique phrases used previously by writers for the New York Times, Paste Magazine, Vulture.com, The Wall Street Journal, IndieWire, and Hollywood Reporter.
Wow. You know, so he's just being, he's a plagiarist.
Pretty much. We should check out some of his reviews and see if he stole any of our commentary from TCNT Movie Talk, which you can hear on the weekends and find the podcast.
What's interesting so far is that, like, for the first ones, like, I feel like there would have been an easy way for him to correct, you know, seeing that it was back in 74.
It's quite a while. I mean,
lending, you know, sort of post lending credibility to these statements. I really like what they had to say. I should have given that writer credit at the time. But the fact that the further examination then identified a whole bunch of other ones, like, oh, okay, you're a hack.
Yeah, yeah. The reviews by Covert in question span many years, but one was was published as recently as November 1st. In that review of the film Can You Ever Forgive Me, Covert wrote, "There's breathtaking craft and control in her performance, but not once do you sense the tools at work." A year earlier, in a November 27th, 2017 review of Call Me By Your Name, John Frosch wrote in The Hollywood Reporter, "There's breathtaking craft and control in the performance, but not once do you sense the tools at work."
That's just coincidence. I mean, you know, who hasn't said that exact phrase?
Well, what's the standard? If it's like more than six words in a row, then you can say that it's plagiarized.
What I want to know is, he's got to have like a document sitting on his desktop, right? He's got to have like a list of these phrases that he's pulled together to be using this many.
Yeah, he's kind of going out of his way at this point.
I feel like he's been collecting these and just sporadically going and tossing them into his writings. How weird.
And what I think is probably likely is I'm sure that he read a lot of film reviews, being a film critic. So he read a lot of them and he'd be like, oh, I like that. That's nice. And then he'd write it down
dude.
Yeah. The Star Tribune is alerting wire services and syndicates that use this guy's reviews and are asking that they provide this information to editors of news organizations that may have republished them. They are also removing all of Covert's work from StarTribune.com. In his long career at the Star Tribune, Covert has made many contributions to their cultural coverage, but this pattern of using distinct phrasing from other authors without attribution is a form of plagiarism and is a violation of their journalistic standards and ethics and those of their industry.
Why? Why would you? You've got a gig.
I mean, it's like 101.
You're a writer. You know,
but he's a writer because he uses great phrases from other writers.
It's just, wow, that's just crazy. Wait, you're probably right. I bet if you were to really research everything that he did to get to where he was, I wonder how much he had grabbed to get him to the position where he was at.
Well, it's what you always say when you get caught for something. You know, you never get caught. You know, with just the one time.
Right. Yeah. Know, well, yeah.
Probably a lot more examples, especially in his earlier work, where you could find, incidents of plagiarism.
A 30-year career.
Yeah.
Wow.
Number 5.
Macron is promising all means to restore calm after the Paris riots and is pledging to speed up tax relief.
I just wanted to help the planet.
If I give them free stuff, they'll stop rioting.
Please put out your fires. From Fox News, French President Emmanuel Macron has his political career in peril and his country engulfed in increasingly violent protests and flames, has pleaded with the country's employers on Monday to give their workers a bonus and also promised a reduction in taxes in a bid to restore order after demonstrations have deeply shaken the nation during the past month. In a pre-taped address broadcast on television, Macron criticized the inadmissible violence of the protests and promised to use all means to restore calm. He said, when violence is unleashed, freedom stops. The French president promised to speed up tax relief and urged companies to give bonuses to struggling workers by the end of the year. He said, I would ask all employers who can pay an end-of-the-year bonus to their employees. Among his pledges on Monday, Macron reiterated his promises to raise the minimum wage and abolish taxes on overtime pay starting on January 1st. Several months ahead of schedule. He also said a tax hike pensioners faced would be scrapped. All of the measures offered had been demanded by the yellow-vested protesters who have led 4 weeks of increasingly violent demonstrations against Macron's presidency, which is seen by demonstrators as favoring the rich.
We're going to talk with David Gartenstein-Ross coming up later on in the show. I'm genuinely curious what David has to say with what appears to be the French president giving in to the demands of these protesters. It's tough because I was reading the story this morning to get perspective. Like, if you are outside of America and you were to watch the coverage of the riots that took place in Maryland or Ferguson, or even going back to the 90s, the LA riots, I think there's a level of perspective there that gets lost. Because you see the coverage and you think it's this huge, large swath of, you know, the United States is on fire and he's rioting, when really it's a very small pocket. I'd like to know there was like 1,200 people that got arrested.
Wow.
Yeah.
In multiple places. So, and the fact that he's giving in to the demands of these protesters.
Begging, you know, employers to give out bonuses.
Yeah, just very weird.
What a weird way to try to quell a riot.
It's a shotgun method. He's trying to find something that'll stick.
Is it a French thing? We just give up?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's
for everybody.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry. Yeah, sorry, everybody. I want some perspective.
Yeah, we'll ask David Gartenstein-Ross to share his thoughts about it when he joins us around 8 o'clock this morning. Good job, Sam.
Thank you.
Stellar Top 5. Thank you to Early Bird Electric for sponsoring Sam's Top 5.
Joining us in studio next, we'll talk with Patty Robinson. We haven't talked to her in a while over Project Delta, and see what's the latest when it comes to the efforts that her organization has been doing here in Minnesota.